بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد ابن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. We are about a week into the sanctified month of Muharram, the first month of the Islamic calendar, and thus it means we have entered a new Hijri year. The 10th of Muharram, so we are around the 6th. Now there's some differences, of course, due to dates and calendars and moon sighting and so on, but 6th or 7th of Muharram, and the 10th of Muharram, depending on the calendar, is either Monday or Tuesday, which is the day of Ashura. And this day holds special significance, and we will get into the significance shortly, inshallah. But one thing we do know from the guidance that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us is that fasting is encouraged in the month of Muharram, but particularly on the 10th day of Muharram, the day of Ashura. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam regarding this day has said that صِيَامُ يَوْمِ عَشُورَى أَحْتَسِبُ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَن يُكَفِّرَ السَّنَةَ الَّتِي قَبْلَهُ رواه مسلم. That fasting the day of Ashura, I hope that Allah will expiate thereby for the year that came before it. And this is recorded by Imam Muslim in Sahih. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma has also said that I never saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so keen to make sure that he fasted on any day, preferring it over another day except this day, the day of Ashura. And this month, meaning the month of Ramadan. So when it came to days that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very particular about fasting on, was the 10th of Muharram Ashura, and when it came to the month, in terms of fasting, it was the month of Ramadan. Now one of the reasons we learn, and there were multiple reasons, but one of the reasons why the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was keen to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to show gratitude for which he fasted was because this was the day on which Allah Azza wa Jal had saved the Bani Israel and the Prophet Moses alayhi salam from Fir'aun. It is recorded that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinah al-Munawwara, known as Yathrib at that time, and he saw that the Jewish people of Medina were fasting on the day of Ashura. And he said, "What is this? Why are you fasting on this particular day?" And they said that this is a good day. This is the day when Allah saved the children of Israel, the Bani Israel, from their enemy. And Musa alayhi salam fasted on this day. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we have a closer link to Musa alayhi salam than you do. So he fasted on this day and he told the people to fast as well. Now, to differentiate this fasting from the fasting of the Jewish people, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended adding another day to the fasting. So some of the narrations mention the 9th of Muharram, so the day before Ashura. Others mention that it could be either before or after, so either the 9th of Muharram or the 11th of Muharram, including the 10th as well, so that the Jewish people would fast on one day, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recommended doing it for 2 days to differentiate it. So by looking at our dates and the slight difference in dates that I mentioned, the best course of action would probably be to fast on the Monday and the Tuesday, because that way you catch the 10th either way and you have added an extra day to it as well. Now what's important to note here is that differentiation from the faith-based practices of others was something that was considered to be very important by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whenever there was a practice that was similar or that could be confused with the practice of other faiths, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam either didn't do it or modified it in such a way that there would be some differentiation. And as we, you know, live as minorities and we come across various practices, including holidays, we need to be very careful that we are conscious of this principle. That whenever it comes to practices which are rooted in faith, or which are a practice of faith, then there needs to be some differentiation between our practices and the practices of other faiths, so that there is no confusion, so that there is no mixture as we move on, so that our future generations are able to understand the essence and are able to preserve the essence of our deen, and so that our faith does not get diluted. If there are other practices, which may be cultural in nature, that don't have a grounding in faith, for example, clothing, food, as long as it's halal, and so on and so forth, then there's really no issue there. The issue is with regards to practices which are a practice of faith or which are rooted in faith-based teachings. Now there's also a number of authentic narrations and traditions that suggest, going back to the fasting now, that in the beginning of the guidance, the fasting on the day of Ashura was obligatory for the Muslims. And later on, as the fasting of the month of Ramadan was made obligatory, because it wasn't obligatory from the beginning, then the fast on the day of Ashura became optional. So in the beginning, when the Prophet ﷺ was given the revelation, the fasting of Ramadan was not something which was initiated as an obligatory act. But fasting was still there. And that fasting was done on the 10th day of Muharram. Then of course later on the Prophet ﷺ went to Medina and found that the Jewish people were also fasting on this day. And he inquired to them, why are you doing that? Why they were doing that? And they explained, because it was the day that Musa alayhi salam and his people, the Bani Israel, were saved from Fir'aun. Rasulullah alayhi salam continued to fast on that day, but then also recommended having an extra day to differentiate that practice. So, my brothers and sisters, we should try as much as possible to fast on the 10th of Muharram, inshaAllah. Which, as I mentioned, could be either Monday or Tuesday. If we do both, inshallah, that would be the best course of action. Now, the 10th of Muharram, as we have mentioned, is a significant day. And we understand from the hadith the reason for that, that the Prophet was given by the Jewish people of Medina. Now, when we look at the Bani Israel, then, at that time, meaning at the time of Musa alayhi salam, these were people who were persecuted severely. They were severely persecuted. And they were considered to be the most lowly members of society. And Fir'aun was a vicious tyrant. Fir'aun was a vicious tyrant. And, you know, he would be killing their boys as soon as they were born, because he was afraid that one of them might eventually challenge him, as it so happened, right? But Allah Azza wa Jal, when Allah planned something, وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of planners. So no matter how much an enemy of Allah Azza wa Jal tries to use various means, various, you know, ideas and protocols to try to avoid something, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined and has written for it to happen, it's going to happen no matter what. So Fir'aun used to use every means possible to demean the Bani Israel, to disgrace them. He kept them in bondage. And, you know, Fir'aun is mentioned, Fir'aun of Zil-Awtad, right? So he used to use pegs and stakes, the commentators say, to torture those who went against him. Right? So that was the nature of society at that time, and that was the extent of the oppression against the Bani Israel, against the children of Israel. That they would be tortured, they would be severely persecuted, kept in bondage, their boys, baby boys, would be killed, and if anyone challenged Fir'aun, they would be tortured with pegs and with stakes. So they were a subjugated people, like weak and helpless to the utmost degree, and so weak that they were unable to rise against the oppression of Fir'aun. There was so much control and oppression over them that they were unable to rise and stand up against Fir'aun, and not even able to escape or run away, right? Because at the very least, if you're not able to stand up against oppression, then perhaps, you know, you're able to escape. You can be a refugee. You can seek refuge somewhere else. But they were too weak even to do that. And what was the advice of Musa alayhi salam at the time? So you imagine the context, you understand the context and the situation. Musa alayhi salam said, Allah tells us in the Quran, وَقَالَ مُوسَى يَا قَوْمِ إِن كُنتُمْ آمَنْتُمْ بِاللَّهِ فَعَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ. That my people, if you have believed in Allah, if you truly believe in Allah, then in Him place your trust if you are obedient. If you consider to be those who have submitted to Allah, if you are those who submit and who are obedient, then just place your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they said, فَقَالُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلْنَا رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا فِتْنَةً لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. So they said, in Allah we have placed our trust. رَبَّنَا, our Lord, do not make us a victim of the unjust people. وَنَجِّنَا بِرَحْمَتِكَ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. And save us through your mercy from the disbelieving people. Then when the misery, the suffering, went beyond, you know, anything that they could bear, it was already bad, but it kept getting worse and worse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Musa and his brother Harun alayhi salam with a plan of action. And the plan was, and this is to be noted, the plan of action, the essence of it, at the root of it, was a plan for spiritual upliftment. A plan for spiritual upliftment. In the face of all that adversity, in the face of all that oppression, what was the plan? The plan was for spiritual upliftment. And the focus was to be on the home. Make the home a source of spiritual strength and conviction and righteousness. Because naturally they couldn't even gather to pray publicly or to give support to each other publicly and to see each other in numbers. So they were oppressed to that degree. So the focus was on the home because that's the only place that was available. Make it a source of spiritual strength, conviction and righteousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى وَأَخِيهِ أَن تَبَوَّآ لِقَوْمِكُمَا بِمِصْرَ بُيُوتًا. We reveal to Musa and his brother, have houses for your people in Egypt, and وَجَعَلُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ قِبَلَةً, and make your houses worship oriented. Make your homes worship oriented. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and establish salah and give good tidings for the believers. Give good tidings to the believers. So thus we learn that in the face of difficulties, in the face of oppression and severe oppression, as we see in the case of the Bani Israel, this is the true source of long-lasting and effective strength. What is? The spiritual connection. To have strength in the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where true strength lies. And of course, couple that with action. Right? That has to be followed with action, and whatever action is possible to be taken in a permissible way, in a legal way, in a wise way. Right? So it's not just about the spiritual connection, but the spiritual connection is at the essence of anything that follows in terms of actions and efforts that are made. And it's also notable to notice that, you know, although the society was oppressing the Bani Israel, so in general there was society who was doing that to the Bani Israel, Musa alayhi salam, when he made dua against the oppression, he made supplication against those in power, not against everyone. And this is also very important to note, that when he made dua against the oppressors, it wasn't just against all the people who were, you know, or the entire society because they were oppressing them. It was specific to Fir'aun and his group, He said, قَالَ مُوسَىٰ رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ آتَيْتَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَأَهُ. Right? Oh, our Lord, you have given Fir'aun and his group. Fir'aun and his group. Right? So his army, his supporters, his advisors. Glamour and riches. زِينَةً وَأَمْوَالٍ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. رَبَّنَا لِيُضِلُّوا عَن سَبِيلِكَ. Right? So you have given Fir'aun and his group riches and glamour in the worldly life. So that our Lord, no, they mislead people from your path. This is what they're doing with the richness you have given them and the glamour that you have given them. رَبَّنَا أَطْمِسَ عَلَىٰ أَمْوَالِهِمْ وَاشْتُدَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Our Lord, obliterate their riches and harden their hearts. Obliterate, destroy their riches and harden their hearts so that they may not come to believe until they witness the painful punishment. Okay, so clearly Musa alayhi salam was praying against, was supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala against Fir'aun and against his supporters. And he wanted their riches to be destroyed. He wanted their hearts to be hardened so that they get a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It had reached that point. Yet, this supplication was not against everyone in society. It was not about, you know, the entire nation or the entire country. It was particularly regarding those who were causing this. So Fir'aun and his supporters. And this dua was accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal. And Fir'aun, as we know, was defeated. So my brothers and sisters, as we see the painful reality of our ummah today, this narrative, you know, holds important lessons. You know, Allah Azza wa Jal is the most powerful. We say that, and we need to believe that as well. So we never lose hope. We never lose hope. And we continue forward with patience and perseverance. And we solidify and continuously work on solidifying our link with Allah Azza wa Jal. Right? Continue to work on our heart. Continue to work on our spirituality. To be righteous. And to be just. And not to wrong others in states of anger and frustration. And also at the same time, we try to employ whatever means are available to us, which are wise and which are halal and which are permissible. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise. We know that and we have to believe that as well. And sometimes oppression and injustices are a way of testing others. Are a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses to test some people. And at the same time, they become the means of reward and eternal upliftment of those who are being persecuted. It's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who fail in that test, and they go ahead with oppression, and they go ahead with injustice, they fail that test. But at the same time, those who are subject to the oppression and the injustice, this becomes a means of, for them, of reward and of eternal upliftment, especially in the hereafter. And a tragic example of that, of an incident, of course, which occurred on the same day, on the 10th of Muharram, is the tragedy which occurred in Karbala. And the beloved grandson of the beloved Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his people, his family, women, children, were brutally deceived and murdered. And this is definitely a tragedy which every Muslim mourns. How could we bear? Right? How could we not be hurt? When we think of the beloved grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to play with him. He would be jumping on his back, on the back of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who he loved dearly, to be treated in such a brutal manner. Right? So definitely it's a tragedy which must be remembered and which we must learn from. And there is much to learn. You know, we learn lessons about patience. We learn lessons about standing up for what is right and for truth and for justice. Not being silent, standing up and speaking. And not just for personal gains, but for sincerely trying to achieve a positive outcome. Doing it for the right reasons. Being brave in the face of oppression, in the face of danger. And having trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala till the very end. And again, all of this with the sincerest of objectives. Not for our own popularity. Not even for our own acceptance. Not to save ourselves. but standing up for what is right. But of course, our method of doing so must be in accordance with the teachings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we look at and we follow the righteous and early predecessors of ours and their understanding of how such a tragedy should be remembered, we see, we learn that showing and expressing grief through, you know, wailing and violent lamentations and so on are not part of the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ and of the righteous people. The Prophet ﷺ said that he is not one of us who strikes his cheeks, rends his garments, or cries with the cry of the Jahiliyyah. Because these were the acts that were done during the times of ignorance. So we maintain a middle road, a balanced approach, that yes, we remember and we mourn the loss of the beloved grandson of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we remember it and we learn lessons from that. But at the same time, we also express that grief in an acceptable way. We don't again go against the teachings of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and incorporate practices which remind us of the times of ignorance. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "There is no Muslim who is afflicted by a calamity. There is no Muslim who is afflicted by a calamity, and when he remembers it, even if it was in the dim and distant past, but that he says, 'Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un,' but Allah will give him a reward like that of the day when it befell him." So even if we are thinking back of tragedies which have occurred, and we are remembering our losses, so whether it's someone who is dear to us or any other calamity which occurred, even in historical times, way back in the past, but we remember that and we are patient and we say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," then inshallah Allah Azza wa Jal will give us a reward like the patience that was exerted on the day on which this occurred. So we make these tragedies and these lessons a means of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of learning lessons, and for gaining motivation for standing up against oppression and injustice only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, when we think about our situation today, the situation of the ummah today, of course it's very sad. It's very troubling. When we look around the world and we see what is happening, and forget about just people, right? We look at our sha'air, the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Masjid al-Aqsa, the first qibla of the Muslims, the place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, for the night journey, a sacred place. And we see that it is occupied. And we see that it is being shut down. And Muslims are being prohibited from going in. It was reopened today, according to reports, but only for men above the age of 50. This is very troubling for the ummah. This should make us cry. We look locally as well. I just came back from a masjid who sometime, you know, overnight or early this morning had stones thrown, or it seemed like a brick perhaps. Windows were broken, vandalized. But you know, when we compare our situation today, as dismal as it may be, as sad as it may be, it really isn't anything compared to the oppression that the people of Musa alayhi salam bore. Or what happened to Hussein radiallahu anhu. Right? When we compare, right, our situation is nowhere near that. We are in a much, much better situation, alhamdulillah, despite the challenges that we face. So we must not lose hope. We must continue to persevere. We must continue to stand up for what is right. And we must continue to do that in the best way possible. That's not to minimize what the ummah is going through. That's not to minimize the challenges that we are facing and the oppression that we notice and that we see and that we cry for. But it's to give us hope and to realize that the way out of these challenges, the path that can lead us out of this dismal situation, starts with strengthening our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Becoming stronger in terms of our spirituality and our taqwa and our tawakkul, our trust in Allah azza wa jal. And that coupled with sincere and righteous actions, correct actions, just actions, will inshaAllah help us forward. And at the very least, even if we don't see any results, we know that we have tried our best. We know that we have not wronged anyone in finding a way out of this mess. We know that we have tried to do the best thing possible. And wallahi, I know it is difficult. By Allah, I know it is difficult to hold on. It is difficult to maintain your focus on spirituality and on your prayers when we're going through challenges and difficulties. I know firsthand myself, in the last week or so, I know my spirituality has suffered. I know it's hard to focus when your mind is so distracted and you know that there's so many things going on. There's attacks taking place, there's trouble, there's hate, there's this, there's that. And of course, in many of the other countries, our brothers and sisters are suffering in a much greater way than we are. So we can only imagine how difficult it must be. Yet, in the face of these challenges, we've got to continue to turn towards Allah Azza wa Jal and continue to seek His help and His guidance. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect the Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our brothers and sisters anywhere, wherever they may be around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread peace and justice around the world. May Allah Azza wa Jal protect our masajid and our institutions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and free Masjid al-Aqsa from the oppression and the occupation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and help us all. Ameen wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. A few important announcements. So number one, you know, unfortunately we are seeing reports of actions, activities of targeting Muslims, Muslim institutions in terms of hate and backlash. We have to keep it in perspective. So alhamdulillah, overall things are fairly calm. The incidents that have been noticed are, you know, relatively minor in nature, but nonetheless, that does not make them acceptable. Okay, they are not acceptable. And the police service has been very clear in terms of where they stand, and they have, you know, sent the message that if you ever encounter any type of incident that puts you at risk, that threatens you, call 911, seek assistance. And even if you feel that it is something that was relatively minor and you don't want to call the police, at least report it to one of us, so the community leaders, the organization, the National Council of Canadian Muslims, because it's very important that we document every single incident so that we and the authorities have a clear picture of what is actually happening in our communities. But alhamdulillah, overall, things are good, and alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that, and we also extend our thanks and appreciation to the authorities for doing their best to protect all of us, all Canadians, of course. In terms of events, so inshallah this evening we will be having I Discover, in which we see watch a documentary together, inshallah. A documentary we will be watching this evening, inshallah, will be Journey to Makkah, which is a dramatized documentary of Ibn Battuta and his journey for Hajj, and very interesting to watch. So inshallah we'll be doing that at 8 o'clock, right across the hall from here, in the room across the hall, in the Minto room. And everyone is welcome, and there's no cost to the event. Please spread the word. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll be having our youth program, Strive, which has now picked up, alhamdulillah. So we had a session for boys, we had a session for girls. So this Saturday is now the boys' turn once again. So this is again for ages 13 to 18, please. Younger children, I know there's a temptation to come, they really want to come, they want to take part. But you know, sometimes we do discuss, or we may be discussing issues which may be of a more sensitive nature, more appropriate for teenagers and older children. So that's why, please, when your child turns 13, they are more than welcome to attend. There is no registration required, it's free. We play sports, we have some pizza, we give out some prizes, we offer salah together, have a short reminder, and the kids had a great time, alhamdulillah. And also, if anyone is interested in sponsoring this initiative, then please let us know, because there is a somewhat of a significant cost associated with this program. On Sunday, inshallah, there's a children's fun day happening at Fun Haven, and more information on that, and this is organized by the KMA, by the Kannada Muslim Association. More details on that is available on our website at kannadamuslims.ca. Finally, the time is changing this Sunday morning, so our clocks will be going back by 1 hour. The time for Jumu'ah Salah here will continue to remain the same, inshallah. So we will still be gathering here at 1 p.m., continuing from next week, inshallah. JazakAllah khair.